This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Power on. Power on.
It's time to take your place on the starting grid and get ready for Racer Radio. Your host, Dave Stahl, about to take you for a white-knuckled lap around the motorsports industry, covering everything from top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Watch for the apex, because here comes Racer Radio with Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio, FM 96.1. AM 1170.
The Answer.
The segment's brought to you by Southwest Point of Sale. You got a business that has a cash register and you need a cashier, but you're having trouble with those guys? Well, why not give Southwest a call? 1-800-540-2149. They can hook you up with a self-checkout system to where you don't have to mess with that. That's right. Southwest Point of Sale. Check these guys out. Also, John's Automotive Import Repair, 7447 University Avenue. They'll take very good care of you. And then, of course, Black Forest Motorsports. Porsche, BMW, Mini. You got it. They drive it. Go to blackforestautomotive.com. Hey, kiddo. How you doing?
Doing well, Dave. It's nice spending the afternoon with you.
It's very nice spending the afternoon with you as well. And what is going on with our call-in guests?
Well, part two, if you will.
Part two, if you will.
If you join us earlier today during Yak Radio, you know that we had two very passionate ladies in studio with us.
Yep.
We had both the founder and the community relations director of Street Racing Kills.
Yep.
And they have more to tell us, and it is very relative to racing, racetracks, etc.
And they're looking for racetracks to partner with to give these kids an alternative to street racing.
Yes, and they're committed to getting to know the race culture as well.
Yeah, since they're kind of new at it, they did go to NHRA. They met John Force, which is probably one of the craziest ways to get indoctrinated into the drag racing scene, but John took care of them like family, between the noise and the smells and the burning
of the eyes. They experienced it all.
It was a little bit of an eye opener, I guess.
You can see Brendan. Do we have both of them online?
They're both online.
Oh, okay, so we have Lily Trujillo and Lori Argumero.
How you doing, kids?
Hello
again.
Hello.
All right.
Hi.
So we found your glasses, so we'll see.
They were under the chair.
Yeah, so we'll see you shortly. But
Thank you. For
the racing community, go ahead and kind of give us a rundown of what we talked about at 1 o'clock.
Well, definitely talking about how Street Racing Kills was founded, right?
Exactly.
Yep, and our mission to save lives by mentoring and creating awareness about the illegal dangers of street racing and traffic safety among the youth.
So, go ahead and tell us a little bit about why you put this program together.
I needed to create someone that would something that would definitely keep me with my daughter here forever. As well, I think Lori agrees, this is the way that we found to keep our loved ones with us in a selfish way and to save lives and let our loved ones' death not be in vain and educate the public, the youth, about what racing really is, about the tracks that you can go to, about the car culture, and learn to have that respect on the road, and also the respect for speed and where to take it, where it's in a safe and legal environment.
You work with children, at driving ages, to try to explain to them the errors of a bad decision.
Yeah, we talk to the teen and the youth about, we share with them videos, PowerPoint presentations. We have victim speakers like myself and Lily who speak with them, police officers. We give them awareness material. We have role-playing activities, just so they really understand, what can happen when you make a bad decision. The consequences are deadly. Valentina and Bethany are the reality of what happens when you're racing on the streets and you're recklessly driving. And lives are changed forever.
But But beyond talking to them, you want to show them that there is an alternative, that you can race, but it can be much safer. And it might have been off air, I'm not sure, during Yak Radio, but you said, I would love to see every track out there have some sort of outreach, community, something. Can you expand on that?
We would love to partner with the tracks and see if we can provide a program with the tracks that would give these kids an alternative to racing on the streets, to take it to the track. That would be awesome if we could do that, because we know that they're going to do it. We know that they enjoy racing. We know they love that adrenaline rush, but we don't want to see them losing their lives. We don't want to see them killing innocent people. And if we can partner with tracks to provide a program where we can take the kids to the track and we can offer them this alternative, that would be awesome. We have already partnered with one track in Irwindale, and we go there with LASD Motorsports and CHP, and we give this kid an opportunity to race at the track. But, you know, that's only one track. We would love to partner with more.
I don't know why a track wouldn't want to do that. They're saving lives. They're getting more people to fall in love with racing, as I have. They've got more people in the stands. To me, it's a win-win-win situation.
Yeah, definitely. I think that, and it's not just like we would love, of course, you know, do the field trips and going there and, you know, and creating awareness and have a booth, right, in special occasions. But if each track will have an outreach community program for the youth, I think it will be just a win-win situation for everywhere, not only for the track, but for everyone. And that especially you get to know what the car culture is all about. You know, the once you're in there, it's a family. It's definitely what I've seen and I learned while going there. So I needed to understand why this was happening so much. And I also want to see the other side where people just go there. And it's a huge, huge family where nobody cares what race you are, what sexual preference you are, what economical background you belong to. It's about the love for the automobile.
And the racers who are listening, they know that. And the crew that's listening, you know that. And to the racetrack owners and promoters, I hope you don't think, oh, goodness, this is just more work for me. Because these two ladies, they've done a lot of that work already.
And we're not talking drag strips only. We're talking a racetrack, whether it be a circle track, whether it be a road course, whether it's a dirt, whether it's asphalt. Because adrenaline is adrenaline is adrenaline is adrenaline. And kids will do all of the above if the opportunity arises. And all it takes is, you want to race?
That's all it took for me.
And that's all it takes. But instead of saying, yeah, let's go, it should be, yeah, how about this Saturday at Paris Auto Speedway or Barona Speedway or
make it attainable,
Pomona Drag Race or Irwindale or what have you. Mm-hmm. But if we can't say, I'll meet you at, then what are they going to do? And this is where it falls on politicians, it falls on city leaders, councilmen, mayors, police chiefs. You know, it takes, and you guys are working with the LAPD, right?
Yes, LAPD and CHP.
Which is huge. And a lot of people may not know this. So if everybody's getting all your shorts in a bundle, the LAPD does that program on their own nickel. They take no city money. The citizens are not paying for it. It comes out of donations from the motorsport sector, really, in all honesty. Or the police officers not only do this on their own time, but they pay for it. Am I not? And we didn't even talk about that earlier, but right?
Yeah, you know, and one of the things that talking to our CHP officer that helps us and about our LAPD officers is they're getting tired of seeing these innocent people lose their lives, and they wanted to do something about it. Mm-hmm. They're getting tired of making death notifications. You know, we've talked about that in our program before, and they're like, you know, the hardest thing is, you know, they join the force to save lives. Mm-hmm. And having to make a death notification is something that they say they will never forget. You know, it's just heartbreaking to know that they're making a death notification when it was something that was 100% preventable.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. We got one more segment with these lovely ladies. Don't touch it. It's streetracingkills.org. Go online, donate, help, volunteer. If you're a track promoter, you will never go wrong by partnering with these two. Mm-mm. We're going to take a quick break. Why? Because it is Racer Radio, FM and 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back. You are listening to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment brought to you by El Cajon Ford. Take a run down to El Cajon Ford. They do have inventory, 1595 East Main Street in El Cajon. Go to ElCajonMotors.com. They support Verona, and so do we. In fact, their schedule is out.
Yes, it is.
It's all over Facebook,
yes,
social media. It's everywhere. But you can also go to their website at VeronaSpeedway.com, VeronaSpeedway.com. Start marking your dates.
April 2nd.
For the races opening. That you want to attend. Brittany's already got hers all marked.
I sent it to my crew immediately. 42 minutes after it was posted. I noticed.
You're lagging, girl. You're lagging.
Posted.
All right, so we've got a very special segment. Normally we talk dirt and circles, but today we're talking illegal drag racing, really down to the nuts and bolts of it, how bad it is, how traumatic it is, and how when it happens, it affects families deep and wide. And we have two individuals that both, one lost a niece and one lost a daughter, and they are making a change one day at a time. And they need our help, whether you're a race promoter or whether you're a business, they do have great partners like AAA, State Farm, but it takes a cadre of people. These two girls will travel anywhere and everywhere to get the word out. They talk to high schools. They work with the LAPD. Ladies, welcome back.
Thank you so much.
All right. So what do you want to chat about this segment? That we might have missed.
I think we've touched a lot of subjects, but one of the ones that I don't know if we talked about it a second ago, but I wanted just to reinstate that we need to educate, and that there's something that I take very much into my heart, and I want to be passionate about saying it and spreading the word how everybody has to be educating to the car culture and what it is. A lot of people are just ignorant about it. I think the politicians have to know, the city councilmen, like we said before, because they need to know that opening a racetrack is not nothing, but it's actually life-saving. You open up a racetrack, let people come in and to open up more racetracks. We need more racetracks in San Diego, in whole California. So these people and the car culture can have some place to go. So the youth has a place to go and to practice, not to have them go so far away. They're all so far away. They're here, they're there. No excuses. Let's just open up more races. And please, cities, allow us to come in. Allow them to come in. This is a family of people that love the car culture, and it's actually going to be life-saving. So we need for this not to be closing racetracks, but open, letting them be open and opening them more.
I was talking to him, Dave, as they were leaving the studio after Yak Radio, how you have helped get the TV personalities out to the track to experience it. And I pass that on to these ladies. Maybe they do that with the politicians, just so they really become part of it or experience it at least for one day. And that may begin to resonate with them.
Wouldn't you love to put a politician in the car with John Force?
Oh, jeez. You'd have to film that. You'd put a GoPro on him.
Yeah, just put a GoPro. Well, that and a diaper. And a diaper. Yeah. You got to put a diaper on him. But, you know, we kind of jest a little bit about it, but this is an extremely serious topic because, like I said, you know, we started the show with the fact that they've lost family members. One 16 and the other one 23. And any age you lose a family member, you know, is a terrible age.
That's preventable.
Yeah, that is preventable. Yeah. And you can't take it back. Yes, there's programs out there, but these two girls are doing it on their own. I mean, they're doing it, you know, every day. That's their passion.
With their two angels.
And they need help. And they're up in the LA area, but that doesn't mean anything.
They drove down to San Diego today.
That's right. Mm-hmm. They will go here, there, and everywhere. So
we were in Sacramento 3 weeks ago, and last year we were in Dallas, Austin, Houston.
Wow.
We do a lot of stuff virtual via Zoom. We've talked to people in Florida and New York, you know, our angels are taking us everywhere. You know, there's nothing like losing a loved one, especially something that's 100% preventable. But, you know, I never ever thought in a million years that I would be burying Bethany at 23 years old.
No.
And to go through the whole process and share that with the youth. And I talk to them about what it's like to bury somebody. And we talk about our autopsy report. And, you know, just so they get an understanding, like, this is reality. And what they can do to prevent that. We want to be, like you said, proactive, not reactive.
Mm-hmm. Right. And what could tracks do for you? Maybe allow kids driving ages to maybe experience what it's like to drive on the track? Because I know Barona, you know, we've got a group of drivers up there that have extra cars that, I mean, all I have to do is, like I've done it with TV personalities, you know, say, hey, let them drive. Okay. You know, I mean, you know, the cars are ready to go. And, you know, so if the track, you know, in your area, you know, say they race Saturday night. Well, let's say Saturday at 11 o'clock, you know, they could host a bunch of kids out there and give them an opportunity to see what it's like. You never know. Mom and dad might foot the bill and put them in a race car because there's cars out there that are $1,500, $2,000. But if you can push that adrenaline onto a track with safety gear and helmets and neck braces and fire extinguishers and fire crews, then you don't have to worry about them on the streets. And it's been proven that once you start racing at a track, your adrenaline rush goes away on the street. You're just not doing it. Or that decision, if somebody does pull up alongside you, makes you think before you make that fatal error.
I just laugh because it's like, the real race is this weekend.
Yeah, you know? It's not tonight.
It's not now on Mollison.
Totally, I give
more respect too for the road.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
You get on the track and then you realize, wow, like the power, the speed that you can go on the track. You know, I've been in the car when I did go to the track and I wanted to experience that because I wanted to learn and understand, like, how can I help educate, you know, the youth. And I went in the track with our officer, and that thing was fast. And it just gave me a whole different kind of respect for the road, the respect for speed, and also how fast something can go wrong.
Yeah.
I also think that, if we can get more youth involved, it could be just a phase that they're going through, right? And then they're like, okay, I'm out of my system. I don't know if I want to do it anymore. Or really love it and stay there and stay on the track.
That's a good point. They could have a almost controlled crash, a crash where nothing bad happens, and then they're like, "Oh yeah, I don't ever want to do that again."
Well, how many kids, you know, not 16, 17, 18, but younger kids that go out to Barona have a rollover, or they have, I mean, they're fine, they walk away and they go, "That's it. I'm done. You're not getting me in a race car again."
Exactly. I think it'll really help.
Yeah.
Better decisions on the road.
Right.
Yeah. Like I told you, Dave, I was a boxer for 17 years. And after I stopped boxing, I would help train kids, right, about boxing. And, you know, everybody wants to get in the ring. Everybody wants to fight. But then when they got in the ring, they're like, yeah, never mind. I got hit. I don't want to do this
anymore. Absolutely.
You know, I got to tell you, this is a major compliment. You must have been an amazing boxer.
I was on the women's USA boxing team in 2012.
Because your face is beautiful.
Yeah, that's true.
You must have never, ever, ever got hit.
That was the goal, Dave.
Yeah. I mean, because I could imagine your nose like a mushroom and your cauliflower ear. Nope. You are gorgeous. When you told me that, I went, holy mackerel, that's this girl's got to be, you know, fast as a butterfly and sting like a bee.
Yep, that was my idol.
Mine too. I'm sorry, I couldn't help it.
He taught me how to box at a young age.
You were very feminine, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, I already told you, Lily, nobody wants to make you mad, that's for sure. Yeah, see? Well, your passion precedes you. I think it's so, so important that more and more people know of your story. You're on Facebook, so people could follow you there.
Streetracing.org as well.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Street Racing Kills.
Thank you.
StreetRacingKills.org.
It's a very organized spot.
And if you feel your school could use their help, reach out to them. There is no road too far. There is no distance too short. You know, and ladies, I can't thank you enough for, you know, driving down, but I know you're so passionate about it. There was no way you wouldn't have done this. So consequently, I mean, you do all kinds of events. You're doing them virtually. You're doing them in person. And the fact that AAA and State Farm and the LAPD are all helping you, you know, I mean, that's just amazing.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a long road ahead. We're so happy that they are. We were very, very blessed. And then believe it for you guys to have us here on your show today as well.
Well, it's totally, totally our pleasure. Now all you have to do is come here and get your glasses.
Yes, I left my glasses.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you so much for having us today. Honestly, like together, you know, by doing this together, we're saving lives together. And it's nice to have everybody a part of this movement.
Yeah. Well, without a shadow of a doubt. Yeah, you're absolutely, absolutely correct. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a break. Brittany will meet you down in the parking lot. So we will see you again down the road. And folks, we're going to take a quick break. You are listening to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
Folks, welcome to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment's brought to you by Certified Car Clinic, 11370 North Woodside Avenue in lovely Santee. Check them out, certifiedcarcare.net. All right, we got Ken McWilliams on. How you doing, Ken?
Good. How you guys doing?
Not bad.
All is well.
Are you surviving, not racing?
I've actually been racing. I did New Year's Eve and New Year's Day in Arizona.
Mojave, I believe.
Yeah. So you're all right. You're doing okay. You're not stressing.
Yeah, we're doing all right. We're going to try to go to Arizona in beginning of February before the season out here starts. So
yeah.
See how that goes.
What do you drive?
For the little four cylinders, it's a 2002 Chevy Cavalier.
But you know, that is it me, or is that series really, really taking off?
No, it's super, super taking off. I mean, you can go get a car for $500-$600, get it out, throw a cage in it, and get your safety stuff and go racing.
Go racing.
You know, under a couple grand. Yeah.
Yeah, and if you don't do anything silly, you could probably last all season, even probably on a set of tires, really.
Yeah, I replaced one tire when I ran on asphalt last year, and I went to Walmart. My tires are $48.
Oh my gosh! As opposed to $150 for the Hoosiers, we have to use.
Yeah, if not more. That is so.
Are there any requirements for tires, or anything runs?
Yeah, they got to be either the steel or stock aluminum rims, and they got to be DOT street non-racing tires.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and what about roll cages?
Yeah, just a standard four-point roll cage is all you need.
Oh, so you don't even have to get carried away and put a, you know, heavy-duty one.
No, just inch and a half tubing. You don't even need the bigger cages like the faster cars. I mean, I don't understand why we're almost going as fast as them. I mean, we're probably 5-10 miles an hour under them, but, you know, it's still a hard hit when you get hit.
Yeah, I thought you guys were going pretty quick. I mean, I think people just assumed, you know, a little four-cylinder Cavalier, how fast could it go? Well, you've proved them wrong.
Yeah, depending on the track and stuff, we're roughly about a second off from, you know, like the hobby stocks or, you know, the factory stock. So, I mean, we're off, but not by that much. And once people start kind of figuring out things and how to set up a little bit better, I mean, we're just going to get faster.
Well, and you're absolutely right. And because there's really, I mean, it's got to be basically stock. But, I mean, as far as setup goes, you can pretty much do whatever you want, right?
No, it's got to be pretty much stock, too. I mean, the only thing as far as setup is you could put, you know, spring spacer in, or you know, maybe cut a spring, or you know. But yeah, we don't even want to, you know, put different springs in. We're not supposed to put different control arms. We're not supposed to relocate, you know, relocate things to make, you know, more camber or anything like that. So it's got to be pretty much stock. But you know, the biggest thing with the setup is just trying to find the right tire size, you know, to make the good gear ratio for whatever track you're at.
Well, and tire pressure. A lot of people don't realize it, but tire pressure is really important depending on the track that you're on. But do you mainly run dirt or asphalt?
I run mainly dirt. I just ran asphalt a couple races last year. Just one of the local tracks was trying to get the class going, and I had a free date, so it was pretty close. So we went out there and ran asphalt.
Yeah, but you didn't stay there very long, did you?
No, I ran asphalt a few other times, and it's a long day and it's boring.
Yeah, I would think so. Because you're stuck. I mean, you're stick. At least on dirt, man, you can have some fun. Because all these cars are what, front wheel drive?
Yeah, these are all front wheel drive cars.
What did you race? What'd you race before this? Or have you always been in? Is this the only class you've been in?
No, I've raced the figure eight up Paris mainly for the last few years, and before that I ran street stock and you know, a few little things here and there. But yeah, probably like the last 7 or 8 years, mainly what I did is just run figure eight at Paris.
Yeah, and then now that you're doing the you know, the Sport Compact, it's probably more of a financial thing than anything, because you're still getting the best bang for your buck as far as giggles go.
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, Paris, you know, the good thing about the figure eight at Paris is it's there's not really no rules. So, you know, where the hobby stocks or the street stocks and stuff like that, like, they have rules, but you got to buy power. When it's pretty much an open comp in the figure eight, you don't have to, you know, buy the stuff to hide the power, you know?
Yeah.
And the four cylinders are definitely the best thing for your buck. Cause like I said, I mean, I bought my car race ready. But I mean, I know guys who's put together a car for $1,000, took it out there, and just ran with it and had fun.
Sure. Well, and I think the key to that class is fun, because that's really what 100%. It's all about, right?
Oh, 100%. I have just as much fun in that as, you know, if not more, than I do in the figure eight. The figure eight. I mean, it's two totally different types of intensity, but
yeah.
I mean, it's. They're so evenly matched, you know, it's fun.
I like that almost anyone could do it. We had a guest in here recently, David Hunt's fiance, right. Angela, I believe. She was sitting in the stands watching at Barona. By the end of the week, she had gone on Craigslist, found a race-ready one for $600, and told her fiancé, I just bought a race car, and I need you to go pick it up. It was that easy.
Yeah, like, $600, ready to roll.
Yeah, I raced with David a few times at Verona and Cocopaw. Mm-hmm. I think at Ventura once, and he's a good dude. I've talked to Angela a few times. I haven't really known her too well, but yeah, I mean, they're good people. And
yeah.
And she made it happen for herself. Like, really, it's not, if you really want it and you really want to race, I think for that division, you can make it happen. Almost anyone can make it happen.
Right. And you don't,
100%.
And you don't have to do it. I mean, if it's okay, so say somebody wads into a fender or a door or a quarter panel. All right. That's all right. You know, I don't have $250,000 wrapped up in this car. You take a sledgehammer, you pound it back out, and go get them.
Yeah, it's pretty much exactly what it is. So
I just got a text from Scott. He said, "It looks like this class is coming to Paris Auto Speedway this year, so that should be good for you."
Yeah, I'm definitely stoked about that. I talked to I mentioned it to Don last year, and I actually wanted to try to get a race last year there. It just didn't work out, and then. You know, I think myself and a few other people asked him about it, and he's bringing it on this year. So it's good, man. Awesome. Our Paris has got an awesome facility, mm-hmm. Nice big track. So I'm curious to see you know, how fast we can get those big cars or the little cars going on that big track. And it's another good track to add to the IMCA rotation to try to get a state championship. You know?
Boy, you're gonna wind that little car up so tight it's gonna scream at you.
Yeah, luckily motors are like $300.
Yeah. So what's the big deal? It slaps in. You can throw it in there in a couple hours, and you're back on the track again. Well, and you know, I mean, I've been doing this a long time, and I've seen a lot of race divisions come and go. And this one is probably the most cost-effective, bang for your buck, biggest smile on your face for the least amount of money spent ever. And as long as your ego can handle it, and you don't have to have the biggest, the baddest, and the fastest.
The loudest.
This is the way to fly, I think.
Oh, yeah, 100%. You don't need to have the fastest car. I mean, when I went up to Arizona, I don't think I had the fastest car. I just was fortunate enough to find the smoothest line. And that's what made it lucky enough to beat out some faster cars and some good drivers to win. But, you don't have to. And I think it's really, really going to grow up. Paris especially, because, you know, on the Night of Destruction, they run the little four-cylinder class. And a lot of those guys, they're tired of working on the cars, you know, week in and week out from the full contact that, you know, they're going to start building cars for, you know, the actual rally around actual racing. And I mean, I already know five or six guys that are building cars to run that class. And that's not including, you know, people I haven't talked to or people that's going to come from other tracks and stuff like that as well. So I could see by the end of the year or the end of next year, they're getting easily 25, 30 cars.
Yeah, and it's a great entry level. I mean, if you're just wanting to see if you want to do racing, but you don't want to spend all the money.
You're not out too much money.
Now, granted, you could stay in the class. I mean, you could just stay in it and not leave it ever. Or, you know, it's just a great stepping stone. So, no, I think this is just strictly a win-win all the way around, if you ask me.
Yeah, you could always leave it when you're like, I want to spend more money on racing.
Yeah, right.
What should I do next?
Yeah, what should I do next?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think with all the cars, you know, I mean, most of the tracks that I've been to, it's all been fairly close. I mean, I've only been at one race, you know, where a bunch of people has gotten laps, and that's because, you know, it was a lot of new drivers, and, you know, they weren't very familiar with the cars or anything like that. But once, you know, they got their bearings, I mean, you know, you don't see a lot of cars that are getting laps. They're always, you know, pretty close racing. If somebody makes a mistake, you know, there's somebody there to challenge them for that position or overtake it. So, it's going to be great for the fans, and it's going to be great for the, you know, the racers, and which is going to make it great for the track.
All right. So I don't know if you do or you don't, but we always ask our drivers that call in, got any sponsors?
I got a few. I mean, I just got a Cross at Marietta, Marietta Barbell, and then Tom's Fabrication. And, I think that's pretty much it. It's just, Jose's Track Repair. My dad yells about a lot.
Wait a minute. Hey, was that first one a food sponsor?
No, it's CrossFit Marietta, the gym.
Oh, CrossFit.
See, I keep trying to get you guys and girls to start getting a food sponsor.
He said CrossFit, not croissant, Dave.
Oh, I thought for sure. Because if you get a food sponsor, dude, you never have to worry about making sandwiches because everything's done for you.
I know. I'm trying. I need to get like a pizza place or something.
Yes.
To hook it up with some pizzas.
Yeah.
You Nick know? Novak See? Knows about that.
Yeah,
Didn't
Nick
he get
Novak.
Pizza and beer or something?
Well, he's even got a beer sponsor. But that's not working until after the racing. Yeah. But no, it sounds. So, how many years have you actually been racing? Because we can't tell how old you are over the
phone. No.
Oh, man.
that long?
That long, huh?
Yeah, probably 17, 18.
Wow.
You're not giving it up anytime soon,
no,
are you?
No.
I don't plan on it.
Yeah.
No. This is your stress reducer, right?
It depends on the day. Sometimes it causes more stress and reduces it, but it's all worth it once you get in the car.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I think the prep for me causes stress, but while behind the wheel, I call it therapy.
Yeah. Brittany is a school teacher, and I don't know if Scott told you, but she's a smidge over 40.
A smidge.
And she races a dwarf car. So the rule of thumb is you go nowhere near the car with her in it prior to a race. Because she won't talk to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're the same age. And I always wanted to drive a go-kart. It looks super fun to drive.
It is. Why haven't you?
Uh-oh. Sounds like a challenge.
No, I'm just curious. Why?
I'm a baller on a budget, you know? I don't have the funds to drive those things. Those things are expensive.
Yeah, I hear you. I run on a school teacher pay, so I just try to stay out of trouble.
Yeah. She just now got power steering last season, so she is.
Yeah, I've only raced 3 races with power steering. It's nice after 5 years without it.
But you should see, she can't weigh more than 130 pounds. Maybe
120, Dave. I told you 120. Stop adding 10
And she's
pounds.
Got guns like a weightlifter.
Little pistols. Little 38 yeah, right. Smith and Wesson. Yeah. Well, have fun this season. Definitely. It seems like a fun division. I'm always curious, though, why they're the one division that revs their motors the most.
Hey.
They do. I don't want to ruffle feathers, but I kind of do. Why do they rev their engines more than any other division?
Tell them, Ken. Keep them spark plugs clean.
Yeah, honestly, I'm with her. I don't know why people do that, man. They're in stages.
Thank you.
They rev it up, and it's like, you know, they're not like cool sounds. Like,
I love him. You know, I love him because it's true. Like, they're just excited.
Yeah, a bunch of lawnmowers. Got
we. Oh, but
he knows
so
what
I guess.
I'm
so
about.
I guess you're.
I don't understand why they do that either.
So what you're telling us, you don't do that.
No, I don't do
He's
that.
He's not contributing.
I think it's kind of dumb, dude. Yeah.
I love that. Thank you for your honesty.
I just let it idle and go.
So, Ken, are you on that nasty social media so people can follow you around?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook just by my name, and then on Instagram I think it's Ken_52.
Okay, he thinks.
All right, well, hey, we'll be talking to you during the season, see how well you do. We do have this weird deal. People had drivers call in, they win on their next race, so
it happens.
If it happens, you can call back anytime you want.
Well, I hope so. It's a 2-day show at my hobby, and it gets
kind
of expensive driving out there, so
yeah, make it worth it.
All right, buddy, you take care.
All right, thanks.
All right, folks, this is Racer Radio. We'll be right back. We got another great guest coming right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment is brought to you by Certified Car Clinic. I already did that one. All right, who's your special guest there, Sunshine?
Well, I'm hoping we have Daniel Blair, a trackside reporter, occasional play-by-play commentator for NBC Sports, former racer, to talk to us about San Diego Supercross.
Ooh.
Next week.
Daniel, are you on line?
I'm on the line and ready to go and ready to get down there. What's going on?
Oh.
So you must be leaving Oakland as we speak.
Right?
I'm actually a NorCal guy, so I drove home last night after the race, slept in my own bed, and now I'm watching my Dallas Cowboys get beat to smithereens.
Oh,
so it's a wonderful Sunday.
I'm sure it is. Yeah, I watched motocross last night.
I caught the last one, the 450 main.
Trippy little track.
It got really ruddy.
Yeah, but it was really hard, hard packed at the bottom and soft at the top.
And I have to ask, since I have you, do they prep the track between races, or do you get what you get if you go last?
Oh, no.
Yeah, so what they do is after qualifying during the day, they'll get in there and completely make over the track. But from that point on, it's hit or miss. So they can get out there in some of the intermissions, and what they do is they'll go to the parts of the track that might be the most dangerous and fix those as best they can. But a lot of the track just doesn't get touched. They let it kind of go, and that actually makes it more challenging for the riders late. So they're all used to it by now. They understand the process. But, you're dead on. Their parts of the track were pretty tough last night.
Do the 450s always go last? Do they rotate through?
Yeah, always 450s last. That's the 450 main event. That's what everyone's coming to see.
And
it's a great system to qualify throughout the night to get them there. And of course, we got the 250 regional championship mixed in as well. But that 250 main event, that's why everyone shows up. And of course, that's when the track's at its worst.
Yeah.
It's just 3 hours of wear and tear.
But Daniel, don't you? I mean, I watch the 250 and I watch the last chance qualifier and the 450. I like the 250 class. I think that class is about as competitive as you can get. Don't you kind of agree? I mean, the 450, I'm not taking nothing away.
You just said they come for the 450, well, I'm not, Dave. Did you hear him?
But you want to watch the 250 class.
No, you actually nailed it. And this is, it's a funny joke in the sport of Supercross and Motocross is, of course, we want to see the big names in the 450 class. But those 250 riders, for the most part, are younger riders that are kind of coming through, figuring it out. And it's kind of fun watching them not have it figured out.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, it's like they want it more, but they don't know why they want it more. Until all of a sudden.
Exactly.
And these tracks are so insane lately. I mean, when you look at the overview of that track in Oakland, it made me dizzy. Just looking at the whoops.
Well, the fitness, too, because of how long it goes. And I can't imagine the last 10, 15 minutes, if you are in the lead or right around that, and then you start getting tired, and then, okay, don't think that, and, you know, push that aside.
And as far as I can tell, name recognition means nothing. Because
not this year. I mean,
we're
two rounds in, so it is early.
It is early.
You don't want to overreact, but right now it's so wide open because the names you would expect to just be there every week.
Yeah.
Well, they've had weird nights. So right now you got about 8 or 9 riders who all think that they can win, and that's when it's at its best, is when that many guys believe in themselves because they're not willing to just settle.
Yeah.
And that's what's making it so good out of the gate this year.
Without a doubt. But coming to Petco Park,
That is so awesome.
Why don't we just race in my backyard? I mean,
because there's better seating for the spectators, Dave.
I got it, but for the riders, they are going to get dizzy because that is one small track.
Yeah.
Well, and okay, if you go back in the history, Supercross used to be at Qualcomm for a long time, and it's a pretty big floor. It was always known for that.
Yeah.
And then Petco, obviously, does have a smaller floor. It's got more of the square baseball floor than the Qualcomm did. But they use it well. Our track crew is so good at maximizing that floor space. And, it's a little bit smaller of one, but I've already looked at the track map, and it's a good one. I think it'll be a good racetrack. The first two have been awesome. And for me, in my line of work, I'm all about the stadium. I love different stadiums.
Yeah.
Petco's always been a good one to work in. And you're right by downtown. The pits are right there. It's just got a good feel. So for me, though, it's always the weather. I always check because I just want to make sure with the open roof that we're okay. And it's looking like we're going to have an okay week and a great weekend. So it should be awesome.
Yeah, it was raining on our monster trucks in the morning yesterday morning. And then it was a wonderful day.
But those guys, the monster trucks, that's one thing. But the motocross guys, boy, oh boy, oh boy.
It looks like, so San Diego, I believe, is the third of 17 stops, correct?
That's correct.
And we have some locals. I was looking up the names, and I saw Mitchell Falk from Costa Mesa. It's at Carlsbad, but I think Costa Mesa. Dylan Schwartz, Alpine, Hayden Deegan, Temecula, Christian Craig, Temecula, Ryan Surratt, Corona. Like, there's some people to go and...
And we have a Toyota dealership that sponsors Toyota of Escondido.
They sponsor a lot of people.
Don't they, though?
It's a funny joke at the Supercross. Whenever a rider's on the podium, they think they're sponsors. And they all seem to ride for Toyota of Escondido. They all do.
And if you go to Toyota of Escondido, there's nobody there riding a motorcycle.
Oh, really?
I mean, it's all Toyota. It just happens to be management has always been.
Oh, good for them.
Well, it's like Toyota, or it's like El Cajon Ford.
Yeah, sponsoring.
You know, sponsors Barona Speedway. But they are the owners actually race.
Yeah,
so that's
true.
Another thing. But, you know, it's such a good race. I mean, and I think motocross has come such a long way. They figured out the combination. The races are not stupid long. You know, they're just enough time that you could come up from behind. You could make an impact. Anybody can make a mistake. And boy, I tell you what, there was some crazy ones last night.
Yeah, I saw right when Jason Anderson took the lead. Like, that's right when we turned it on. Riding a Kawasaki. I have a little KX100, so I was happy to see that. my little sweet.
Well, he was happy too.
Yeah.
He just moved to Kawasaki.
Yes.
And, yeah.
You know, and I'll give you some background on kind of how this works. Kawasaki, I mean, it's a very powerful franchise in our sport. They've done a lot of great things. They've had Ryan Villopoto. They've had Eli Tomac. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. when Eli Tomac left them, there's this void, and you're kind of wondering, is this team going to be as good as they've been the last 10 years? And they took a chance on Jason Anderson. He's a 2018 champ, so mm-hmm. they know he had something.
Yes, but not for a while.
It'd been 47 races yeah. since he had won.
Mm-hmm.
So last night, I mean, the energy on the floor with the Kawasaki team and Jason, it was big for both, because for Jason, he finally gets mm-hmm. a win again. And for Kawasaki, they went, wow, we did make the right decision. We
yes.
got the right guy, and we could keep on with our winning ways.
Yeah. Yeah, it looked like he was holding back tears.
He's a pretty strong guy up front, but I think deep down in there, there might have been a few, because he's had a rough and bumpy road since he won his championship, and a lot of people doubted that he still had it. And he's always known that he has. He said that in our press conference. He said, "I've known this was coming again." And to finally get it, it's probably such a relief for the guy, because he is a great rider, a great competitor, and it had just been a long time since we'd seen it.
Well, and he's a great representative for the sport as well. You know, he comes across well. Kids look up to him. He's got the right attitude. Yeah, no, it was fun last night. I actually didn't go to Monster Trucks just so I could stay home and watch
it. Does Dirt Dude know that? So it's the next Saturday, correct? The 22nd. What time does it start? When should spectators be there?
I mean, it depends on if you want to just come for the race. I would recommend hitting the whole day. I'd get out there at noon. We have the Fan Fest. That's pretty awesome. There's a lot of activation. You get to see all the bikes up close. And like you were saying, the bikes, I mean, the whole sport has just continued to modernize. The motorcycles are insane right now. So to get out there and be able to see them up close, see the riders.
Do you have to pay extra for that?
Qualifying. No, if you bring an empty Monster can, well, you have to have your regular ticket, but if you bring an empty Monster can to recycle, gets you into the Fan Fest, and you get to partake in everything. It's pretty awesome.
Good to know.
It's
Brittany,
great that Monster does that.
Go buy a Monster drink. I don't want to see you in the trash can looking for a Monster drink, okay?
But I want to see the bikes up close, Dave.
Well, I don't know. Did you see that one segment? And I think it was Kawasaki. I'm not 100% sure where they did that breakdown of the swing arm and the engine and where they did the mounts and what have you. That was the best, because I think that would educate a lot of riders.
I wish we had you longer.
Yeah, we're going to get you back. Hey, well, maybe we'll have you call back after San Diego. You give us a blow-by-blow.
No problem. Call me up.
All right, Daniel. Thank you so much. All right, we're going to take a small break, but Guns Owners Radios. I don't even know what the hell I'm talking about. Right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.